Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You know, you make a choice to win, and you win, and it's awesome. I'm sorry, winning. You starting to get the concept now?
What is up, TFA fam? Hope you're all doing well. Today, Kevin and I, we're bringing good vibes only. We're talking about winners from the 2021 NFL Draft. Stock up, value up, however you want to think about these guys. We're talking about guys that we're feeling good about that are in good spots and we think got that value bump following the draft. If you rocked with us during the during our draft shows, during the live streams, we appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. Huge shout out to everyone who came through and helped us out and everyone who was in the chat holding it down. We appreciate you guys. So, Kev, we're just going to have a little open discussion here, talk about some of these guys from the, you know, from a winning perspective. We cannot sit here and talk about, you know, winners and these rookie running backs without talking about motherfucking Michael Carter. Gotta talk about him. I think he was absolutely a winner coming out of this, you know, especially for someone who got the day three capital. He was someone who I was looking forward to. I put out a video about, you know, wanting to see him go early. There were a couple of those teams who had picks, who had a running back need. The Jets were one of them. They took him, and now he lands on a depth chart that, you know, he could very easily be at the top of by the time the season begins. I mean, you're looking at Tevin Coleman, LaMichael Perine, who's another rookie they took last year, and then, what, Ty Johnson or someone still hanging around there. It is really easy to see him. And like I said about Michael Carter the entire time, he's not a running back who you're going to just feed 22 to 25 touches per game. So he could end up splitting with a couple of these guys, but he could very easily be on the upper side of a 50-50 split with this backfield. And they moved up to take Elijah Vera Tucker in the first. They obviously have Mekhi Becton. They added, you know, Corey Davis in the offseason. So I think this is a really good spot for Michael Carter to go to. And I definitely think that he is a winner. But I think because of the stench of the New York Jets and just kind of the uncertainty, I think I wouldn't feel comfortable having him as my RB2, but like as like a RB3. You know what I mean? Someone who's going to fall a little bit. I don't think he's going to get the bump that some of these other guys like an ETN or a Javonte Williams are going to get. So I think he's going to be a relatively good value for your redraft leagues as well. And again, I can see him being that, you know, 55, you know, 60% kind of running back in this backfield.
Yeah, I mean, like you already mentioned, that this backfield isn't like, you know, anything that really scares you. Tevin Coleman, who, you know, got kind of underwhelmed last year in San Francisco. And then, you know, LaMichael Perine, who they just drafted, Josh Adams, who's kind of bounced around a little bit with Philadelphia. And now here, like, I definitely agree. Like, there is an immediate path to touches, and there's nobody, like, there's no big name that's in front of him that's really blocking him. So I do like Michael Carter, but I don't think he's going to go that high. I mean, I think you could probably take him as your RB4, RB5 depending on how your roster turns out, because I think he ends up being probably 10th, 11th round pick in redraft leagues. And I think that's tremendous value there for a guy like that, somebody you kind of stash away and, you know, see how this thing plays out. Now, obviously, things could change if we get into training camp and he's announced the starter, then I think that changes a little bit. But I don't foresee that being the case. I think there's probably a better chance that Tevin Coleman probably starts the year as a starter, that veteran presence here with Zach Wilson. But with Mike, because I will say as well, with them having a rookie quarterback, I mean, Michael Carter was not very good in pass pro. So I think at the very least, he's on the field as a third down back. And so at the very least, in PPR formats, I think he's definitely going to be viable. But I think somebody that kind of, you know, as the season goes on, that maybe could earn more of an opportunity, ended up taking over in the second half of the season. So definitely a late round guy. There's a couple more guys I want to hit on before we probably jump to another position. But so the last thing I want to talk about was Chuba Hubbard. And all of a sudden now we're starting to get a little positive vibes around Chuba Hubbard landing in Carolina. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's there. Christian McCaffrey's going to be the workhorse. But as kind of that late-round sleeper guy who you want to stash on your bench, like a handcuff if you wanted to, because, you know, if Christian McCaffrey has the same results as last year and gets hurt, he is going to be the guy. They have nobody else on that roster. He is the RB2 in that backfield. And so there's a real chance that he could end up taking over that backfield if anything were to happen to Christian McCaffrey again. So, like, I felt like at least for him, he has that immediate opportunity to really take over. Now, I think there's a couple other guys that we could talk about that weren't rookies that really were winners, and that is Miles Gaskin, that is Chase Edmonds,
too,
and that is Mike Davis. I can't believe we're talking about Mike Davis again, but here we are. He is right now the lead back of Atlanta. Miles Gaskin is looking like the lead back in Miami, and Chase Edmonds is going to be battling out with off-injured James Conner.
Yeah, I mean, all those – I didn't think that any – I thought Chase Edmonds had the best chance out of this group to survive the draft, but I still thought Arizona would do something. They did nothing. And then the other two as well. Like, I thought there was no way with Arthur Smith coming in there, you know, with his history of what we've seen so far with having Derrick Henry be the focal point of that offense in Tennessee, that they were going to come out of this draft with Mike Davis as the guy. And that's literally what we have. So, I mean, we had him and then Gaskin also as well. Like, those were all teams that I think a lot of us thought that they were going to add something at some point. And they did nothing. So, I mean, they absolutely have to be winners. I'm really curious to see where their ADP falls. And like you said, we're going to start getting back into, you know, updating our rankings next week. So we'll have a much better feel for that. But what ranges do you think you'll be looking at those guys by the time we roll around to, you know, August, whenever our drafts start to kick off?
I think Chase Edmonds, because of the presence of James Conner, they probably kind of kill each other's value in terms of where people view them. And so I think both of them, I think Chase Edmonds gets actually drafted before James Conner, which I think is the right call. But I think that probably both of them wind up fourth, fifth round. I think James Conner could possibly sixth, seventh, eighth round, somewhere in that range. But then in terms of Miles Gaskin, like, we should like Miles Gaskin for everything that he was able to do last year. And that team just got better. The offense is better now. You say what you want about Tua, as a quarterback. Like, he is, for me, like, it's kind of like I'm on the edge with of how I feel about him. But I will say that you have to, you know, throw in the fact that he was coming off a major injury. He really wasn't supposed to play last year. He got rushed into action when he probably shouldn't have. And so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Miami did a really good job this offseason of surrounding him with weapons, with Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, who they drafted. So Miles Gaskin is in a terrific spot. Like, and Miles Gaskin played really well last year. So I think I would view Miles Gaskin as like a solid RB2 right now. I wouldn't put him ahead of the second year, you know, some of the second year running backs. You know, he's not going ahead of J.K. Dobbins. He's not going ahead of Cam Akers or Clyde Edwards-Helaire and all those guys. He would be behind those guys, but I think I'd probably have him off just probably RB20, RB21, somewhere right around there right now. Possibly could have him a little bit higher. And then Mike Davis, I probably have him a little bit lower than that. Probably RB22, RB23. I do think there's a chance that Atlanta adds another running back here. And Kerryon Johnson was released just a little bit ago. And I think he could be somebody that they pick up and add. I mean, Kerryon Johnson's only 24 years old. So he's definitely still has something left in the tank here. It's a guy that maybe could go on to another situation now that he has gone from Detroit. And Atlanta could be a perfect landing spot for him.
Yeah, I still think a couple of these teams could be in the free agent market for sure. Even with the addition of somebody, you know, like the names that are still out there, but like Lev Bell, Duke Johnson, Todd Gurley, you know, unless someone is like cut or traded, I still think these guys will retain most of their value. Before we kick it over to, you know, some other positions, I did want to go back real quick and touch on a quarterback who I thought came out a winner after this. That was Sam Darnold. I don't think anyone would have really batted an eye if they would have taken Justin Fields at the point that they took, J.C. Horn, because they only gave up a second, which, I mean, it's not a day three pick, but in terms of quarterback, like giving up a second for someone who could be the, you know, your franchise guy, that's nothing to give up in the grand scheme of things. And we've seen teams, you know, more recently be willing to spend high capital on guys whenever they have, you know, either a big contract wrapped up or high draft capital. So the fact that, you know, they didn't, you know, add a quarterback, they picked up his fifth year option, added Terrace Marshall, they added a lineman at some point too to help out in that offensive line, added Tommy Tremble to that group as well. Obviously getting back Christian McCaffrey. I think he was someone who came out as a big winner for me outside of the rookies.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree here with that. I think that when you kind of look at him and what they were able to do with this draft class last year, they were all defense. This year, they pretty much went the majority of offense here. And I think they did a really good job. I mean, he is surrounded now Sam Darnold. I mean, Sam Darnold has no excuse to fail now. If he fails, it's on Sam Darnold, and they can move on from that. I was surprised that they didn't take a quarterback. I felt like when Justin Fields fell to them, that you thought that maybe they would take him there, and let him sit for a year, see what they have with Sam Darnold, and possibly trade Sam Darnold. But with them holding on to him, I mean, Sam Darnold's pretty much the guy now for the next 2 years, and they have DJ Moore. And even though Robbie Anderson is in his last year of his deal, he's there. They have, you know, Terrace Marshall. I like the Tommy Tremble pick. Dan Arnold's still there. Christian McCaffrey. So there's a lot of weapons here now for Sam Darnold. So, you know, this is the opportunity for Sam Darnold to, you know, really see what he's got and see what the Adam Gase effect was here. So I definitely agree. I think he's somebody, you know, two quarterback leagues, you definitely could be looking at as your second quarterback. Or, you know, if you want to take a shot on him, you know, depending on what, because their defense is still going to be trash. They're going to have to throw the ball. And with the amount of weapons, it's going to be really hard for Sam Darnold to fail. So I like what the Panthers did in this year's draft, and I think they did a really good job of surrounding him with weapons. So I like that call.
I hate to be the, you know, no one's really talking about this guy as a winner guy, but that's exactly what I'm going to do right here. And we were just talking about the Chiefs. I feel like that no one's talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a sneaky winner after the draft. They added Orlando Brown. Creed Humphrey fell into your laps. There were a lot of us who thought that, you know, the Chiefs were a lock to take, you know, someone to help them in the passing game. You guys didn't add anybody until Noah Gray, you know, the tight end who's going to be definitely sitting behind Travis Kelce. And then Cornell Powell, who, let's face it, if he were getting the draft capital he got and went to almost any other offense, we really wouldn't be talking about him. Would it surprise me if Cornell Powell contributed, you know, as your, you know, wide receiver kind of two or like the fourth option in that offense? It wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, I think a lot of us were, you know, round two, round three kind of capital to add a pass catcher. And I think that means, you know, between the offensive line and not really adding anybody who's going to come in and be expected to contribute right away, I'm hoping, at least, maybe this is me, you know, kind of talking myself into this, but I think we could see more passing game involvement for Clyde entering year two. And I think he is a sneaky winner. Like I said, I hate the people who are on Twitter always saying, like, dude, no one's talking about this. But I genuinely feel like nobody's talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a sneaky winner. And I, you know, between that and his, you know, his draft stock where it is right now, I love Clyde going into year two.
I 100% agree. And it's not because I am a Chiefs fan. It's because, you are 100% right. The Chiefs' absolutely number one priority this offseason was to rebuild that offensive line. They were not going to have another year like last year. What we watched in the Super Bowl with Pat Mahomes just getting abused every single time he dropped back, the Chiefs completely gutted their offensive line and did a masterful job in doing and retooling it in such a short period of time. Orlando Brown was an excellent pickup. Joe Tooney. And it wasn't even that. Getting Creed Humphrey, who is likely going to be the starting center, there's a chance that it could be Austin Blythe, who's another guy that they picked up. They have probably the most depth now of any offensive line in football.
It's insane.
Because now they added Jake Long, who can play tackle, guard. They added they brought back Mike Remmers, which I don't love. Lucas Niang was in talks of being their starting left tackle or right tackle before they traded for Orlando Brown, and he's likely going to be the starting right tackle for them or Mike Remmers. Also, they're getting LDT back, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who sat out last year to fight COVID because he's also a doctor. He's getting him back at right guard.
Such a bonkers story, by the way.
And then they went and just might have had the steal of the draft with getting Trey Smith in the sixth round, which might not be a familiar name for a lot of people, but he had a second round grade by a lot of people, but he had a medical issue. I think it was something I can't remember exactly what it was, but he had a medical issue. Teams were scared away. So the Chiefs offensive line is absolutely loaded. And you're right. So now he goes from last year running behind one of the worst offensive lines because they were injured, and now you put them behind this wall that they're going to have, and I think it's wheels up for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I agree. Everybody else is talking about Cam Akers, how much they love about him and everything else, and I think that people are missing the boat that I think right now, I mean, you could really – if you put Clyde Edwards-Helaire in your top 12, I'm not mad at that. But people are going to pause at it and have reservations because they burned him last year. And people are going to be like, no, I can't mess with that guy. That guy's terrible. He burnt me last year. I took him early. But the good news is you're not going to have to take him early. You can take him late second, early third round of your redraft league. That value is baked in there now. And he's absolutely has top 12 upside.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Just another running back real quick. We won't go too in-depth with this. But another one who I feel like, you know, you could look at as a winner coming out of the draft was Austin Ekeler. Obviously, with Rashawn Slater falling into their laps, they added in the offseason, so not necessarily in the draft, but in the offseason, they added guys like Corey Linsley and Matt Filer. And then, the only thing they added in terms of, you know, pass catching was, you know, Josh Palmer, who was a little bit of a surprise as early as he went to them. So I think Austin Ekeler can come out of this looking like a winner as well. And we saw what happened last year with, you know, the running backs that they were trying to split touches with, you know, with him. Justin Jackson is someone who I really like, but he hasn't been able to put it together. Then guys like Joshua Kelly, like we saw that those victory laps be very short lived for his truthers were out there. So someone who, again, you know, what he can do from a PPR standpoint. Now I feel like that offensive line is fortified as well. And then, you know, if Justin Herbert can continue what he showed us last year, should be wheels up for Austin Ekeler as well. So I really like him. Were there any other running backs that that you wanted to touch on before we move to some of these wide receivers?
No, I do think it's interesting with Elijah Mitchell, who went late sixth round, but very athletic guy. He also went to San Francisco, which people are probably wondering why we're not talking about Trey Sermon, but that might be coming up in a separate video. But I did find it interesting. Larry Roundtree, hey, Mizzou, went to is in there with the Chargers. So if Justin Jackson or Joshua Kelly can't pan out, who knows? Maybe Larry Roundtree gets a chance. But I think that's pretty much it, though, for the running back. Kenny Gainwell, I was kind of sad that he went to Philly because I do think Miles Sanders remains. I know what we're going to hear from everybody is that Kenny Gainwell is going to take over the job from Miles Sanders, and Miles Sanders is dead because everybody's going to do this with the rookies. The people that hate Miles Sanders is going to use this as a victory lap. I think Miles Sanders still probably assumes 60-70% of the touches in this backfield, and I think Kenny Gainwell will probably follow up, and Boston Scott is really the guy who's dead. So,
another cliffhanger here. One of us will be talking about Miles Sanders in the next episode that we do. For me, for the wide receivers, I mean, let's just start off at the top. We have to start off here. AJ Brown, like, maybe not necessarily a winner per se, because it's not like they really did anything with the offensive line or an upgrade with Ryan Tannehill. But this was another team like the Chiefs where we were like, okay, they're going to add somebody of note here early on in the draft. They did add Dez Fitzpatrick, which was another kind of like surprise pick that they added. But then other than that, it's Josh Reynolds. So, we could finally be looking at a point with A.J. Brown where he is just like it's going to be a buffet of targets, right? Like he's literally going to get all that he can handle because there's nothing else there. And I know there are some people who are, excited about Anthony Firkser. He survived the draft as well. But I mean, this is going to be A.J. Brown season. So for all the people who were talking about A.J. Brown as, wide receiver one and this, that, and the other, hey, get your running shoes on, take some victory laps, get ready for all the glory. It's kind of crazy that last year, out of his 2 years, last year he had 106 targets. They're like, he could be one of, we're having fewer and fewer of these wide receivers as the years go on. But he could be one of the wide receivers that we're looking back at, 12 months from now and be one of two or three receivers who's getting 160, 170 targets because there's literally just nothing else there. We know Derrick Henry is a zero in the passing game. Get out of here with the videos of him running those routes and, working on his pass catching. Stop it. It's A.J. Brown season. He like I said, Put the little napkin around your neck, get your fork and your knife, and be prepared to just eat all the targets you can handle, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, I think he has a legitimate wide receiver one, like the wide receiver one upside.
Yes.
Like, I think they very well could be a Davante Adams situation of last year where he just sees all the targets. And the dude's super explosive. I mean, he was already super efficient last year. And so I 100% agree. I think it's A.J. Brown's season. I mean, there's nobody else there for them to throw the ball to. So, unless you're going to talk yourself into Josh Reynolds, which I'm not. I'm good on that. So I think he's definitely a winner here in terms of, the guys that didn't have anybody else drafted to them. So I definitely agree there. I think another winner that you brought up that should be highlighted more, I think Josh Palmer. I like that pick for them. He is a super interesting player. And not a guy who got really any hype at all during this draft season. And I think he's a guy that a lot of people just didn't really talk about, didn't really move the needle for a lot of people. But I think that he has the chance, at the very least, to be the wide receiver three here with the Chargers. But I think there's a chance that he can end up, possibly, Mike Williams gets hurt or anything happens here where he's the wide receiver two with Justin Herbert. So I think at the very least, I think this is a really good landing spot for him. And I know a lot of people were kind of like scratching their heads and kind of running around because like, wait, what? Josh Palmer, what is he doing getting drafted here? So I like the pick, and I think it's a really good fit for them, kind of a sneaky pick. Another guy that I liked that I thought was a real winner was Terrace Marshall going to Carolina. He kept falling and falling and falling, and we saw Dwayne Eskridge and fucking Tutu Atwell go ahead of him. I'll never understand those picks going ahead of Terrace Marshall. But, again, we don't have access to those medicals that apparently they're scared some teams away. So I don't know about those things. But I think this is a great landing spot for him. this year plus beyond. I think he can be a really big part of this offense this year. And if anything happens to Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore, I mean, DJ Moore got banged up last year. He's kind of gotten banged up the last 2 years. If these guys miss time, he's automatically going to be that number two wide receiver. But we saw last year they were kind of able to support three wide receivers relatively with DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, and Robbie Anderson. So I think Terrace Marshall can definitely eat here. And this was a really good landing spot. I'm happy this is where he landed. And I think this could be a spot where kind of teams look back. I mean, if you look at DK Metcalf a couple of years ago, whenever he was kind of falling, the Chiefs took Mecole Hardman over him. No, that never gets talked about, by the way, either, because all the stuff that's happened, you know, how well the Chiefs played. And this is a different situation. We'd probably be talking about this because the Chiefs drafted Mecole fucking Hardman over DK Metcalf. And that happened.
Traded up. Didn't they trade up for
Hardman?
Yes,
they traded up to get Mecole Hardman over when DK Metcalf was on the board. So I think this could be a similar situation here for Terrace Marshall. I like this landing spot for him.
The last winner I have, the last guy I'm going to talk about is Amon-Ra St. Brown. He goes to a situation where there's literally, you know, get your binoculars out, look around. There is nothing on that depth chart. I mean, you're looking at Tyrell Williams, Prashad Perriman, Khalif Raymond, and, you know, in terms of the wide receiver room. Of course, DeAndre Swift is going to get his targets. Hawkinson's going to get his targets. But in the middle of the field, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown has a chance to lead at least the wide receivers in targets. That defense is still going to be trash no matter what they added to it, and, you know, free agency and with the draft as well. So I think Amon-Ra St. Brown, in terms of, you know, a volume and a target perspective, especially with him not going until day three, I think he came out of this as a winner. I was surprised to see him slip that far. I thought he was a day two kind of guy. Not necessarily sexy, but one of these guys who I felt, you know, could step on an NFL field as is today, right now, and be, you know, being a spot to produce. Like I said, he's going to be a slot guy. They obviously need that with, you know, Perriman and Tyrell Williams. I can't believe we're literally talking about that as their starting trio. Perriman, Tyrell Williams, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. But I think he came out a winner just in terms of a target volume perspective.
Yeah, as you're right, I mean, there's just nothing else there. TJ Hawkinson has to feel pretty good about himself because that man is going to see a lot of targets. But I do like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's probably some guy that you could probably get 12th, 13th round of your drafts. And I think it makes some sense there with that team. That defense is going to be terrible. They're going to throw the ball a ton. So I also think Rondale Moore is a really winner here, going to Arizona, going to, you know, hopefully a coach that will know how to use him in space, kind of, you know, use him in all quadrants of the field. And, you know, while I guess you could say it's a crowded wide receiver room, it's not a crowded wide receiver room with a lot of talent. It's DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, who's an alpha. But, you know, you have Christian Kirk, who we continue to wait on to break out. And this just doesn't look like it's going to happen. They brought in AJ Green, who is 46 years old, who's going to be signing up for AARP here soon. So Rondale Moore, I think, could see a lot of targets here in this offense. And we know that this team wants to do a lot of four wide receiver sets. And now they have all these wide receivers. So I think Rondale Moore is a really interesting guy, super athletic, and I think they're going to be able to, you know, utilize him to his best of his ability here. So I like that pick for them, and I think that he is somebody that I don't think is going to go as high as people probably would think. I think he could probably get him probably 8th, 9th round, 10th round, something like that, and I think that's tremendous value for him on an offense with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Rondale Moore is absolutely a winner. He was someone who we were talking about, like, you know, going to have to land the right offense, someone who's going to scheme touches and yada, yada, yada. Look no further than Cliff Kingsbury. Like, I think we're still waiting on, you know, what we thought we were getting with Cliff Kingsbury. I think Rondale Moore can do more than what he was asked to do at Purdue. Like, I think he can be used more as a down-the-field kind of receiver with the athleticism he has. But even if not, if you're looking at someone who's going to work the intermediate levels of the field in the screen games, jet sweeps, that sort of thing, hopefully we get, like I said, what we thought we were getting with Cliff outside of just the four wide receiver sets. And like you said, it may seem crowded on paper, but whenever you get down to it, it's really D-Hop and then, you know, a bunch of shoulder shrugs. So I do really like that for Rondell Moore. I'm glad you brought him up. And I know you had one more guy you want to talk about. So go ahead and let's talk about him and then we'll close out the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. And I mean, I don't know if I'd say it's a winner, but it's so much as like a Kyle Pitts, because I think he's going to be somebody that we talk a lot about over the offseason and kind of where he should go. And is he being overdrafted? Because, you know, on one hand, we know that rookie tight ends tend to struggle the year one. And I know people like to bring up guys that have like O.J. Howard, David Njoku, who didn't really fire. But I'm going to be honest, like, I'm going to have no doubt about it. He is going to be ranked inside my top five of redraft tight ends, okay? Going to Atlanta, this is an excellent landing spot, especially if they trade Julio Jones. But, because he's going to – that target share is going to go skyrocketing up. But even if Julio is still there, Julio is not going to be a guy who's going to play 100% of the snaps. Probably Moore falls in the line of 60-70% of the snaps for Julio. And I think he is definitely going to – in everything you need to know what they think about Hayden Hurst, who is still there, they declined his fifth-year option. So clearly he's out the door. And so there's nothing – Hayden Hurst is not going to stop Kyle Pitts. And like I've said, Kyle Pitts is not a tight end. He's a wide receiver who's designated as a tight end. Like – I know some people are going to think the top five is hot and too high and they can't take it. And that's what people are going to regurgitate is we have never seen a tight end put up monster numbers, or we rarely do year one, which is true. But Kyle Pitts is not your typical tight end. Like I said, he is a wide receiver. If he was a wide receiver, he would have been drafted in the first round, probably in the top 15 picks. Okay. He is that damn good. And so I'm not passing up on an opportunity to take Kyle Pitts, especially a redraft. Listen, once you get past the top three or four guys anyways, it is a fucking crapshoot no matter what. And so give me the guy with that type of ceiling and Kyle Pitts in that offense with Matt Ryan, with Calvin Ridley, in an offense that threw for 4,600 yards last year, 26 touchdowns, with Calvin Ridley there, with a shit defense still. Give me Kyle Pitts. I don't know where you come in on him, but definitely Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, top five for sure. And I think the most important thing you said there at the end is like after the top three or so, it's an absolute crapshoot. You know, we thought, you know, last year and the year before that the tight end landscape was starting to look a little better. We got all excited about it. You know, we made a couple shows like, hey, this could be the year. It's never the year. Kyle Pitts is a unicorn. He's a freak. Well, you know what? I like you said, I get the stats and, you know, rookie tight ends and this, that, and the other. We have never seen somebody like Kyle Pitts. There's a reason why he was taken at four overall on a team that, quite frankly, is looking way closer to a rebuild than they are a true Super Bowl contender. You know, they could have went a lot of different ways there, and they still took Kyle Pitts, you know, at tight end. So that is going to wrap things up for us tonight. We appreciate you guys checking out another edition of the Fantasy Authority podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Leave us a rate and review on your podcast platforms. We really appreciate it. Going to have a bunch of content coming out now that we're past the draft. Going to have a bunch of dynasty stuff. We're going to get back into, you know, maybe some best ball or some live drafts. We're going to do some of that for you guys. So we'll make sure, you know, make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. We'll throw out a link so you guys can join us live for some of these drafts. We'll probably do them on Underdog, and you know we'll live stream those as well. We'd love to get some of the TFA fam in with us for these live drafts. So until the next time, for myself, for Kev, we'll talk to you all soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.